GP man. 45. Nice to see you. Hi, Saucy.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Old Man's Podcast Show with Danny Joe and Eric, coming to you live from across the United States of
America. Hi, Mr. A.
From Georgia to the Oregon coast.
He is saying good morning, everybody, from the ocean. Welcome to the Old Man's Podcast.
A little stop in Colorado.
Hi, Tony.
I got a poor connection. I don't even know if you can hear me.
Well, you just sound like you're a robot. We can't understand. Now you're better, of course. Now you're better.
I don't know what's going on here. It's all messed up.
But I said, welcome to the old man's pasta. He's saying, well, not pasta, podcast.
Just take over. Just take over, Nina Jo.
Yeah.
Just run the
one
whole show.
More day. Just... one more day. You sound like R2-D2, Mr. A said.
Just take over. I'll just jump in when I can. Or when it hears me.
When we hear you, maybe we'll pay attention to you.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. I'm pretty much tired of fighting this technology.
So. Hi, the only crazy lady.
I'm done.
Yeah, it's like the minute you talk, it's... starts and then it stops, so you have no control. It's not your fault.
No, I don't. I have no control. All I can do is sit here and watch the dials, you know, and I can see the little network thing go poor, real poor, maybe a little better. And then every once in a while it jumps up to excellent, and everything's all lit and it's green, you know. And then as soon as I start talking, job drops back down to poor.
Yeah,
but this is we got one more show here on the coast, and that'd be tomorrow, and then I'm heading home. Yay! I'll be glad to be home. I found, like I told you earlier, I found that the older I get, I just don't like being away from home that much. I really don't. You know, the further away and the more time I spend just gets shorter and shorter and shorter. I'm just not into it. I don't know. This must be an old people thing. I like the confines of my home.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You're set in your ways. You know what I mean? You're comfortable where you're at. But I don't know. I wonder if the internet was working, if you would be enjoying this vacation a little bit more.
Well, I don't know. And then plus 2C.
But I mean, I understand wanting to get back home once you're gone, but try to enjoy it a little.
Yeah, and then plus 2, since we've been here, it's been kind of, you know, crappy weather.
Yeah.
You know, it's raining and all that stuff. But you know, we have had some fun. We were out at the place we ate at Norma's last night. We had some coupons for Norma, and we went there and had a nice steak, nice steak dinner. It's a steak, and mostly it's a seafood place. So, and we're going to go back there tonight. Only this time, instead of having a steak, I think I'm going to try their fish and chips. Yeah,
oh,
I like
okay.
fish and chips. Yeah, yeah. Because Grammy cleaned house on that. What?
I said Jess can't relax at home. She has to be, there's always something that needs to be done. And I understand that, being a mom and taking care of others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and plus you guys are a little younger. You know, you still have, you guys are still a little younger. And Yeah, I mean, you'll see. You'll see once you start getting close to 70. We'll talk about it again when you get close to 70.
He said we'll talk about it again when you get close to 70, I think. I think that's what I understand R2-D2 saying. Is that what you said?
That is so funny. That's exactly what I said. You're understanding the
listen. I keep putting my ear even closer to my tablet, like I'm going to hear any better with my ear closer to the tablet. But it's not working.
Isn't that funny how we do that? We try to put our head closer to something so we can hear it. Yeah, no. It
isn't. Oh, see, Jess says the downloads sound really good. And
I noticed that too. When I went back and listened to the downloads, it sounds good. Yeah, so that must be, and it is kind of funny to hear us say, "Well, I don't hear what you're saying," excellent. And then it's like, okay. "Well, you do on the all download."
Hi, DRCGYKAV, welcome.
Welcome. Where's Eric? Eric, are you here? Where are you at, Eric?
I'm still here. I just have my first cup of coffee in the morning.
There you go.
There you go.
Coffee?
Mm-mm. I like a good cup of coffee. Yeah. That's one thing that's made this trip better is I'm actually
got my
Black Rifle coffee with me. And so cooking it up. Flying ham. Yeah. Hey, do you ever wake up with a song stuck in your head?
Oh, like an earworm?
Kind of, sort of. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Good or bad?
But just, it doesn't have to be an annoying song. It just... Just a song.
Yeah, you just keep singing it.
Yeah. I woke up this morning. I had Ghostbusters stuck in my head.
Oh. Ghostbusters.
What are you going to call it? Ghostbusters. I mean, it's just that I'm going, why is this song stuck in my head? Ghostbusters.
You were doing that the other day on the podcast. You were beep-bopping something. You were doing that.
I'm going to start writing down in the mornings what songs are stuck in my head. And I might make a playlist by it. That would be hilarious. These are the songs stuck in the old man's head in the mornings when he wakes up. Yeah. Speaking of which, on Friday, we're going to have that. Huh?
What's at that? Least you have a song stuck in your head when you wake up. You know, you're like happy, go lucky.
Yeah, more times than not, I do have a song is stuck in my head when I wake up. Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. And it's funny. New Ghostbusters movie is out on Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, it is. With, oh, darn it. Now I can't think of his name. The guy, when I first saw the commercial, it wasn't the full commercial, so I only saw the ending, and I'm like, what is that? This is Ghostbusters? But then when I saw the whole commercial, it kind of tells a story. So, interesting. I can't think of the main, Paul, is his name Paul something, the main character?
Oh, the guy that played Ant-Man. Yeah, I think it's the guy that plays Ant-Man in the Marvel movies. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I got it. Paul Rudd.
Thank you.
I think that's it. Yeah.
Thomas. I was like, I think it's Paul something.
And you know, I got to tell you, this is probably the only sequel to Ghostbusters I'm interested in seeing.
Yeah.
I think it looks good.
Yeah. It does look kind of good. When you see, like I said, the whole commercial, it makes sense. It does look better than the all girl one, and then that other one that they had.
Yeah, this looks good. And what intrigues me is the kids. They find that container that has all the ghosts that they caught in it. I think that is something. Yeah, because then when they open it up, they just get to see all the ghosts and the evil spirits that they captured in the first movie. They're all back. You know,
they all got
this. One looks good. I'm curious if any of them, like Dan Aykroyd or any of the original cast, is going to have a cameo in it. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. But this does look good. This does look like a good movie. And again, too, and then they're pushing the Matrix movie. They're pushing the new Matrix movies is coming out too. It should be out here really quick too. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm seeing the previews to it. Hold on a second. I'm seeing the previews for the new Matrix movie. And, you know, I mean, if you look, if you follow what the first four did or the first three did, and then all of a sudden, now Neo doesn't, he doesn't get it anymore. Neo doesn't get it anymore. He doesn't understand what the Matrix is. You know, he's, I mean, I don't get it. You know, here he was the smartest guy, the savior of everything. And now he's at a point where he's just forgot where everything, where he was. I don't know. It doesn't look that good to me. I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, it says.
What do you think, Dina?
Yeah, I didn't hear it. I understand the thing. Something you just didn't like the what it was saying because there's not the original people in there.
No.
I couldn't understand what you were saying.
Yeah. Because I thought with this fourth Matrix movie coming out that Keanu Reeves would be reprising the role of Neo and Carrie Ann Moss would be reprising the role of Trinity, but I wasn't sure if Lawrence Fishburne would be coming back as Morpheus and if any of the other cast members would be coming back. And I know they had to replace the actress who trying to think of the character she played, like she was some sort of what you call it,
a
clairvoyant lady? Of sorts.
Yeah. She's played by somebody else now. Yeah.
Because the original actress died.
Eric, didn't Morpheus die in the third Matrix? Morpheus died.
I really didn't get to see that third Matrix movie. Yeah, if he did, I mean, that would probably explain why he didn't come back or if you would have thought that they would have had like flashback scenes.
Right.
You know, and he would have shot scenes for that.
Welcome, JDK. Welcome, PSD.
The Oracle is who that clairvoyant lady would be.
Oh, yeah, this year. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
didn't Joe.
Because yeah. I think they're kind of the same, like a clairvoyant and an oracle.
That's who she was. She was the Oracle, yeah.
Yeah.
And what? And didn't she know she was going to die? No, I'm not. I don't know. In the movie.
But
I don't know. It's
and then, of
it's
course,
just all strange.
Like things. Agent Smith, of course, and how, you know, he keeps coming back.
Right. But I just don't think I could get into seeing Neo looking like John Wick, you know, because I'm such a big fan of the John Wick movies. And now here he is, Neo. Neo looks exactly like John Wick. It's like, what? What's this all about? You know, I don't know. I find it strange. I probably won't watch that new Matrix movie. But I will watch the Ghostbusters movie because that looks good. Dina Joe, you said that there's more than Dan Aykroyd going to make a
yeah.
Cameos?
What I'm reading, it says the film stars Carrie Coon, Phil Wolfhard, McKeon Grace, and Paul Rudd, while Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson, Sigourney Weaver, and Annie Potts reprise their roles from the original films.
Now, see, that's going to be fun. I think that's going to be fun because they're all going to be older and they're all going to, you know, play their same parts, but they're older. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's- Tuttle says, does anyone actually die in the Matrix? Well, you know, the people, the humans are feeding the Matrix. Remember they have all the little egg things that they're in and they're all wired up to. So yeah, I imagine they serve their purpose and then they die and they get out of there. I don't know.
I remember that first Matrix movie, like where Joe Pantoliano's character, would unplug like characters that were in the simulation.
Exactly.
Because he turned out to be a double agent. Because he was actually a mole for Agent Smith.
And they were dying. Yeah, exactly.
Cypher was his name.
I'm in the Matrix. Help me. Get me out of here. Help me out of here.
And an interesting bit of trivia about the sequels that came out in 2003 is the reason Jada Pinkett Smith was casted for her particular character. Her character was really intended for young and coming musician and actress Aaliyah, who had died suddenly in that plane crash 20 years ago.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I did not care for that third movie, the third Matrix that she was in, and that it was like, now they're starting to get a little too carried away. They're crazy. I don't know. But I'm just waiting for the John Wick 4 to come out. That's the one I'm waiting to come out. And I know they finished filming everything, and now it's in all this post-production work. So there you go. There you go. And then, you know, this thing about the accident that happened, the firearm accident that happened in that movie.
Right.
You know, now everybody's all upset. Uh-huh. Everybody's all upset about the guns in movies and this and that. Did you know that there's only been 3 firearm fatalities
accidents
in the history of making movies? Yeah. 3.
That's
just
not a whole
3.
Lot.
So, you know, yeah, and it's like, you know, why are you all of a sudden getting all excited about guns in movies? There's only been 3 firearm
facilities.
There's
only one reason. Because
right. There's guns.
Yeah, yeah. Because they have an agenda going behind it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they said that there was like a close to 50 fatalities or something of people falling off of buildings and all that stuff, you know, and they go, so
okay,
why don't you stop having people fall off?
I know. I didn't hear people. I heard people falling something.
Yeah.
Okay. People falling off of what? People just falling
off of buildings.
Oh,
that. Off a building. There's been more fatalities of that. So why don't they stop launching people off of buildings? Well, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, it's just weird. It's just weird.
Go ahead, Eric.
Well, because I know, like, the reason why, you know, like what happened with Alec Baldwin on the set of Rust. I think the agenda is people wanting to just see the Second Amendment being done away with, which we know that the Second Amendment is never going away. But it also seems like people seem to forget what happened to Brandon Lee on the set of The Crow.
Yeah, he was one of the 3 fatalities I'm talking about. One of the 3 fatalities.
And, you know, and of course, and Brandon Lee is the son of the legendary Bruce Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I didn't want to jump into the political side of it. I just think
we'll
interesting.
Save that for another show.
Yeah, I'm just thinking it's interesting that they're, you know, they're pushing this safety thing with only 3 fatalities when they have, you know, all these other things that happen that cause far more larger numbers of fatalities, you know.
Correct.
So interesting. You know, it's just interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, did you know that there's one person in your life that has heard everything you've said?
My big Chief Thundertrain. Welcome.
Did you hear me?
One person in our life that has heard everything that we've said.
That's right.
God. What?
I said person.
He's a person. He's up in heaven. That's the only person I can think of.
He don't count.
Okay.
He don't count.
Oh, man. Shucks.
You have heard everything that you've ever said.
Oh, Santa Claus.
He's not a
person either, Tuttles. Watch the old man say that.
No, you have. You have heard everything you've ever said. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it does, except for me. I can't remember. You know? Oh, you said that. No, I don't remember saying that.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just an FYI. Just an FYI for you. You know? And did you know this? Look in the mirror, and see if you can see what you look like with your eyes closed.
You're so
you
silly.
Can't do it.
No.
You can't look
well,
and see what you,
No.
Even if you squint, you know you're squinting, and so it doesn't look. It doesn't like, you know, you can't see. You can't. You can't.
Well,
you can't.
No, your
as
eyes
fast
are closed,
as you try,
silly.
And you know what I've been doing with my time here in Seaside,
yeah.
Oregon.
He's just talking silly now.
And did you know that if it wasn't for mirrors and all that stuff, if it wasn't for mirrors and reflective surfaces, we would not know what we look like.
True.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So who was the first human that locked into a reflective surface and they saw themselves? You know, like leaning over to drink water out of a lake, and it's nice, clear. There's a reflective surface. They look and they go, "Yeah, you know who's that?" You gotta admit, that'd be fun. That'd be funny. Come on, everybody. Come on, lighten up.
Oh my word! Hi, hey, Mitchell. Hope you're feeling better. The old man's out of control. He's lost his marbles.
I'm going crazy. But that's just some things I've been thinking about. I mean, really? Am I wrong? Tell me. Now everybody's all quiet. Everybody's going, the old man's lost it. He's gone crazy. He needs to get home. He's going crazy.
He's been left
and
alone.
You know, that's one thing, that's one bird I have not seen here at Seaside. I have not seen any crows.
Well, that's because you normally see seagulls, don't you?
Oh, tons of seagulls.
You know what I've always wondered is when it trips me out when I first moved to Colorado and it'd be cold and snowy and there's seagulls in the parking lot. I'm like, what? You guys confused?
Where'd they come from?
It's so weird. It happens every time you'll see them. It's like, I guess they're just not, you know, seabirds because they're.
I don't know. I'm isn't that I'm with strange? You. Because we have them in Vancouver too, and you know we're an hour away
species.
From the coast.
Yeah, I was like, what the heck are you guys doing? There's no sea around here. There's not even a lake close by where I saw them. It's like,
what are they doing?
What are you guys doing, you strange little birds?
I know. I know in Arizona that you couldn't just shoot crows. Because somebody decided that they were a migrating bird. And so, you know, and they had to have a season. If you were going to hunt a migrating bird, there had to be a season. And it's like crows don't migrate.
No, they just stick
crows
around.
Crows not a migrating bird. Yeah, just stick around. So I don't know
where
what's
are
going
they
on.
Migrate
that. Hi, Foz.
That's funny.
Yeah, I don't know. But where'd those seagulls come from? I don't know. How do I know? Because I talk to the crows. I'm a crow whisperer. No, I guess there's people that track them. The only crazy lady, I think there's people that do that kind of stuff. They track animals. They see what their migration habits are. I guess I don't know. We have a crap ton of seagulls here.
They will literally steal your food bag if you put it on the roof of your car when you're getting in it. Oh my gosh! Hi, Shonda.
Yeah, they're smart.
Hey, Shonda.
They know how they you know they hang around where there's food.
They're waiting.
Gosh.
They know. Oh,
yeah.
Burger King. Yum. I'm gonna get that.
Well,
while
you know,
he's putting that little kid in the car. I'm gonna grab that bag.
Exactly. Or if you're sitting on at the beach, you know, and you're kind of sitting there munching on a bagel or something like that, they're watching. They'll swoop in and grab it right out of your hand. Yeah.
Magpie. Magpies are the what? They're black with and then
black and white.
Are also dark blue and then like with the wings, but there's some blue on them. I thought with a long tail and they squawk, make a loud noise. Yeah, I think that's them, right?
She says, yep. I've never seen one that close, so I don't know, but I've seen them. I said they have a lot of them in England.
Oh yeah,
magpies.
Oh yeah, we have them out here.
And
too.
If a magpie flies in front of you while you're moving forward, if the magpie crosses your path, you're supposed to spit in your hand. That's what I was told by Ed.
I think he said if a magpie goes in your, if you see a magpie, you're supposed to spit in your hand
for good luck. Spit really? In your hand for good luck. Yeah.
Huh.
That's what I was told by a British guy. Yep. Spit in that hand. Yeah. Weird. Weird. Animals are weird. Yeah. I would be spitting in my hand all day. He says. So what kind of holidays are going on today? Any at all, Dita Jo?
Yeah, I was looking at magpies, but yes, we do have International Accounting Day.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Does the sight of a ledger book make your head spin? That's why we have accountants. Dun, dun, dun.
I've never understood the. Well, no, it's just logging your income coming in and your expenditures going out. That's all that is, right? Yeah. Keeping track of where you're at, the balances. It's like a big giant checkbook. Yeah.
Moving on. I don't understand him. We'll go on to the Marine Corps birthdays. The Marine Corps birthday. It's the Marine, the Marine Corps. It's its birthday. So happy birthday, Marine Corps. And it's also National Vanilla Cupcake Day.
What is it? Vanilla cup?
Yeah, that's boring. I want just National Cupcake Day. That'd be better.
Yeah.
Oh, it says it right there. Vanilla is not synonymous for boring.
Yes, it is.
They could just be so much more, But I'll take one if that's all you have. I'll take it. Yeah, thank you. All right, it's also Sesame Street Day. Sesame Street is the most widely viewed kids show in the world.
Sesame Street.
I was like, what's with the song? And I'm like, that's not it, is it? Sesame Street. And actually, it's area code day. Why it needs a day, I don't know. But learn more about your area codes and why they matter on this day and age. Well, I guess.
What's your area code?
Mine? 303.
Yeah. Oh. Mine's 630, but my phone is 503. How does that happen? I don't know. I live in 360, but my phone is in 503. I don't know.
Well, the Atlanta Metropolitan area is... Atlanta would be 404-678-770 and 470. And other parts of Georgia are like 478-706, and I believe 912 are the area codes. And California has the most area codes in any other state because they have such a large
population.
Oh, because
they're confused.
Yeah. I vaguely remember when area codes were coming around. Yeah, I remember when one area code was for each state.
Or they switched your area code. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everything switched up.
There used to be a time that you didn't have to dial the area code before you dialed the 7-digit phone number you were intending to call. But if you were calling long distance, you had to put a 1, the area code, and then the remaining 7 digits of the phone number. But after January 1st, 1998, when the 678 area code arrived in the Atlanta area, we had to start dialing all 10 digits or 11 digits if you're calling long distance. Or back in the old days, the 1-800 collect or any the other collect call services.
Do they even have collect calls anymore? I mean,
I doubt that they would, but if they did, it's still for the...
In jail,
that right there. Or if you still have the landline.
Yeah, right.
They do charge.
In jail. Sean, yeah, when you're in jail, you have to call collect, right?
Well, that's really their way of making money.
This is Clark County Jail Services. We have a collect call. Yeah,
we have Colette Cole from Dean and Joe.
And then Crazy Lady mentions like international calls too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but see, I got an app on my phone. I can call like Man Cave in England, and there's no special charges. It's just like me and him talking on our, like we're next door neighbors talking on our phone. I just think it's interesting.
Oh, so. Yeah, because you use that what's up app.
What's up, man? What's up app? Yeah.
Yeah, you use that app.
Mm-hmm. I get that free calling, but they're tracking everything I say, you know. Yeah. So it's no longer
long distance.
It's no longer just me knowing everything I say. It's whoever's tracking on my phone knows everything I'm saying too.
Yeah. Well, like if they right can now, understand you.
Yeah. Well, you're really a little filters. So any other days going on?
Yes, and this one's important, and I didn't understand. It's Forget Me Not Day, and they show the flower. If you've ever seen a Forget Me Not, it's a little blue flower. But this day was actually way back World War II, and it's for the vets that came back without limbs or missing, you know, in battle had lost parts of their body. So in the battle that they have to deal with after they've come home. So that's what, I guess, during this time, they give out those flowers. I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
They sell them. And if you buy forget-me-nots, a portion of it goes to not only that charity, but there's also a bunch of other ones. They said that they go along too. There's one cognitive genitive Alzheimer's, is that's in New Zealand, so they use the forget-me-nots for that. So yeah, but the real reason was back in World War II, a judge Robert S. Marks, and he was in World War I, and so he was a veteran, and he declared that day for any who were suffering physical losses in the line of battle. So
interesting.
It's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, isn't Veterans Day coming up? I think.
Hi, Mike.
Isn't Veterans Day coming up?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
I thought somebody in the chat room said it was like tomorrow or this week or something. Let me see if I can find it.
Let me see what they National Medal Days. No. Yes, tomorrow, November 11th.
November 11th, Veterans Day.
It's tomorrow.
Interesting.
Yes.
That's a holiday that always sneaks up on me. Veterans Day and Memorial Day. It's like, they sneak up on me. I never know when they're going to.
With Thanksgiving, you know, it's kind of just everybody's in the hustle bustle. It just kind of gets forgotten.
Yeah. Okay. So tomorrow's Veterans Day. We'll remember that.
Mm-hmm. So that's it.
That's it? That's all the holidays? Wow, yeah, that's kind of a short list from what we've been having.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, geez. Geez, mm-hmm. Louise. Man. Interesting. We call it Remembrance Day up here. Oh, with the poppies? Oh, they call it Remembrance Day.
Oh, I love poppies.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Elgato.
Hi, Elgato.
There's Elgato. There's the Elgato. Good to see you, buddy. Oh, man. So I'm at a loss here. I'm just at a loss because I can't do any searches on anything. Yeah. I try to look at stuff. I can't find it. You can't hear me. What if I just start?
I think you said breaker. Good. Buddy, breaker, good buddy, help me out
breaker, good buddy,
something like that.
So that brings me to my thought, if you can hear me, that, you know, I was saying how podcasts and all that are going to take the place of televised news and everything, but all they got to do is scramble the signal. Nobody can hear you know what I'm saying? I mean, so, you know, all you got to do is have a poor internet connection and nobody can figure out what you're doing or what you're saying. So is that we need to get back to ham radios. Ham radios.
Ham? The like H-A-M?
Tube. H-A-M. The tube radios. The old tube radios. Yeah.
So since you can't find anything, I found 26 sweet facts about honey.
I love honey.
It's so good for you. And plain ham, you little honey maker there.
You little beekeeper.
How would you like to know some facts about honey?
Lay it on me.
All right. Did you know honey is the only insect-derived food? And that's why we need to save our bees, people. Without the bees, we can't have they don't pollinate anything, right?
Right. They said it would be a matter of within a couple of years' time that everything would just start dying if it wasn't for bees.
Yeah, honey is the only natural insect, only natural product insects make that humans consume.
Man, I love honey.
I do too. Have it every morning. Mm-hmm. And then plant nectar turns into honey in the bee's stomach. Honeybees don't make honey out of nothing. It starts with nectar extracted from the flowers using the bees' long tubular shaped tongues, and it stores it in their little bellies, known as its crop, as they fly around, and it mixes with enzymes and changes into composition and makes it suitable for long-term storage. Hi, Shorty Bee.
How much honey can one bee make? That's the question.
Let's see if it says that. And it says
honey. I mean,
I don't, Hammy, do you know that question? Honeybee is food stored for winter. When a honeybee arrives back at the hive, they pass nectar through the house bees by regurgitating it. House bees repeat the digestion process before storing it in the honeycomb. At that stage, it's not syrupy like store-bought honey. The bees have to fan it with their wings to make excess liquid evaporate. Once ready, it seals over the wax and saves for winter when food is scarce.
They're saying 1 or 2 teaspoons. I've got a confirmation. I've got that from Tuttle's, and Flying Ham kind of confirmed it. 1 or 2 teaspoons in a lifetime for a bee, a single bee. Wow.
Wow.
Gosh, there's so much honey out there too. I mean, it's unbelievable the amount of honey that we. How much honey does it have the fact of how much honey do we consume as consumers? How much honey do we consume?
Oh, wait a minute. Here, what did this say?
1 pound of honey makes 3 to 4 million flowers.
Flight miles.
And 10,000 flight miles. Good night. Bees are busy. See, that's why we need to pay attention to nature. Nature is fascinating. If you just look at around, look it what's says, around us.
I know. Look at them bees. You're in the matrix again. So I'm going to interrupt you. I could use that as an excuse. That's great. 1 ounce of honey is enough to fuel a bee's flight around the world. 1 ounce of honey. Crickets?
Well,
crickets.
It says here that, I mean, Flying Ham was saying that,
not one.
I don't know. How much does a bee, if a bee flies?
A cafe restaurant.
Man, do you see what Flying Ham said in there? 1 pound of honey. 1 pound of honey
takes 3 to 4 million flowers and 10,000 flight miles. That's a new one for me. Oh, yeah. This one says 28 grams, 1 ounce of honey is enough to fuel the bee's flight around the world. So I believe you, Ham, because you do it. I'm just reading off this thing. And then it says one bee makes a 12th of a teaspoon of honey in its lifetime. Is that what?
They said 1 or 2 teaspoons.
It says a 12th of a teaspoon.
A 12th. Oh, okay.
I don't know if that's close.
I don't know.
Yeah. Let's see.
I mean, it's a little bee. I can't imagine it making a lot of honey by itself.
Honey, you know? You need it, now this one says, tell me if this is right, guys. It says it makes 500. It makes 1 pound of honey. You need 550 bees to be able to fill a 500 G's 1 pound pot of honey would require 550 bees and the nectar of 2 million flowers. Luckily, one colony of bee contains between 20,000 and 60,000. Is that true? Is any of that true? Oh, he's trying to type. too bad you can't call in. You're probably on a train or something. Hi, PPG. See, I don't
Tuttle
know.
Says he don't believe your list. Tuttles doesn't believe your list now.
Well, you know what? Tuttles probably because I found it on the internet. So, but see, this is good because we're getting facts from you guys. So
hey, Abraham Lincoln says you can believe everything on the internet.
Oh, he was.
I've seen the picture.
It seems like everyone has their own version of facts. No, true, true. But I'm putting this out there and I'm getting the facts from guys that deal with it. So,
yeah, there you go. We're talking to our bee people.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is just proof that you can't trust everything that you read, right?
Right.
Right. You should go and get more, hi, Rounding Third, more other people's opinions on it and whatnot. So.
But you know what it is telling me? We need to buy, we need to plant.
Hi, dude.
Dude, a new one.
We need to plant bee-friendly plants in our yards spring and summer.
Yes, please. Yeah. We do need to save the bees. That's for sure. We can all agree on that. This list, if it's not right, we can at least agree on that.
Well, here's a question for Flying Ham. Are bees active during winter? Or do they just
in their boxes? They're kind of there. You wrap the box, right, Flying Ham? And then I remember the guy when he had, and it was in Colorado. We have a lot of. You know, you'll have a cold day and then you get warmer weather. He would come and undo the front and like kind of let them out and then come back and they'd come back and then kind of put them back in there when it got colder. But don't they stay? They don't hibernate and like go to sleep. They're active in their little confinement, I believe. Yes, they are active. They have winter bees and they have sole job to survive in the winter. Yes. Without bees.
So, but are they out? They're not out actively looking for nectar and that, are they?
I don't know. Where you can hear them if you put your ear next to the hive. So the ball up. No, they ball up and stay warm. No, typically not. But typically they're closed up. Like, but this guy he had his bees on mine, he would come and undo it and let them out. Like I said, we could go a week and it'd be warm and then he would come back and close them all up.
No,
but I don't know if he knew, you know, that's what he would do. They weren't, I don't know.
Welcome, Rainy.
Yeah. Hi, Rainy. It has to be at least 50 for them to break, cluster, and fly. So there you go. So yeah, we got cold here. I don't know. A couple weeks ago, we got really super cold. And right. I didn't see any of the bees. And then this last weekend, it was really warm. And I'm not sure who has the bees or if the bees are just somewhere. But then they came back. They were back out again. Somebody's bees were back out again because it was like 60, 62, 63. So they were out flying around. So, yeah. I guess it depends. So tell me this. Is this true? There are hundreds of variety of honey. I kind of believe that. It was funny because even though it was in my backyard, there was four different boxes. One of the three boxes, honey, was more of a amber, dark amber color compared to the other ones were more of like the honey that you sent me. Yeah. Depending on see, there we go. So thank you everybody for coming. You've got the Old Man's Podcast with Dino, Joe, and Eric today. The Old Man is on location by the ocean. So you might hear him sounding like R2-D2, but that's just That's just him. It's okay, well, everybody. Yeah, he's still here. We're still having fun. We're just learning about bees.
Beep, boop, boop, beep, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop.
Well, he has one more day left at this location, and then after tomorrow, yo, he'll be moving back home to Studio One or Studio A, or yeah, maybe what you call it, Studio 1A in Washington Studio State.
I'm in Seaside, Oregon right now, dude. Seaside, Oregon. The matrix of the internet.
And they paid for good signal.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I paid to have this wonderful signal right here.
That's too
funny. Hey, but bees, man, we love bees on our show.
Welcome back, Elgato. We need to pay attention, and we really do need to save them. And they're not going to hurt you. They're not going to come after you and sting you. They're only going to sting you if you're trying to harm them in any way, and they feel like they need to protect themselves.
Or they'll harm their offspring.
Yep, yep.
I remember watching a TV show like a couple years ago. I think it was like a news documentary program, like people who had like health issues, like including like a lady that was blind in one eye, and they put like a bee up to the back of her neck to intentionally sting her, because I think that honeybees also have good health effects, to where that natural chemicals in their stingers can go and heal and repair like certain body parts. I mean, but this is not intended to be any kind of like opinion or diagnosis, but that why we would say, you know, for any like health related matters, you know, talk with your primary care physician, because there's always the possibility that a lot of people may not be candidates for this kind of procedure. And I know most insurance may not pay for that.
And you find out you're allergic to a bee sting.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's not good.
Hey, crazy lady wants to know.
I'm looking at it to see if I have that in here. And I was waiting to see if Ham comes back. He went to go get the mail, because I'm sure.
Hey, while you're doing that, if you've got Spotify, go to Spotify and download Homeboy 88's latest podcast on Spotify. He's asking that we would do that for him. So, yeah, we'll check you out. I'll go to Spotify and download Homeboy 88's latest podcast to help him out. I think Tuttles. Honey. Tuttles is on the phone. Tuttles is on the phone with us.
Hi, Tuttles.
Morning. Am I coming through?
You are.
Okay. A lot of the honey you buy at the store is actually fake honey, and that's why Crazy Lady was asking about the crystallization.
What happens is mass-produced
honey places, they force-feed them sugar water solution instead of them eating actual plant pollen. So when they make it into honey, after time, that honey actually wants to recrystallize back into its natural state of sugar.
Oh, there you go.
So when you buy honey, try to buy local off of farm guy, and it will never crystallize. It has an infinite shelf life.
Natural, raw, unfiltered, yes.
How funny, because now that you say, because I was looking for the answer, but that makes total sense, because the honey that I buy is the natural one, and it's, you know, from our area, which you should do too, because then if you take it, you get, doesn't it give you like immunity to like some stuff that you could be allergic to or something?
Yeah, like if you buy locally made honey and you have allergies, seasonal allergies, and you eat honey on your toast and stuff like that, it actually helps you prevent having the allergies, because it's putting it in your system. Sort of like an anti-venom for like a snake bite.
Yeah. So get the honey that by where that's produced by where you live.
It costs a few bucks, but you got to support the local dudes that do their job and get stung all the time.
Yeah. Plus, it's better.
Grammy was telling me, because we had some honey that was crystallizing, and she says throw it in the microwave and heat it up for a little bit, it'll all blend back together. And it did. I heated it up and you know, thinned it out, and it was able to. So
that's just remelting the sugar crystals, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, did you?
But a lot of the stuff you buy at the store is just it's still it's like honey, sugar. But it's just not real. It's just more sugar, because they're force-fed sugar water.
Right.
Oh, you mean that stuff you get from KFC in the little packets isn't real honey?
Yeah, or the little honey bear that's in the bear squeezing one. It looks like a little bear. That one. all of those.
Or the ones from Dollar Tree. Yeah, no.
Yes. All of those honeys, yeah. Unfortunately, you got to pay a little bit more for it.
Yeah.
But hey,
they're really good.
Go ahead, Tuttles.
Those types of honeys, though, are actually really good if you're making homemade grog and stuff. Like that, those sugar crystals actually help to produce liquor in a higher concentrate than natural honey.
What
though.
Did you call it? Grog? Because what I was going to say
is grog.
This one says honey is used to make the world's oldest alcohol drink, mead. Mead, the alcohol drink.
Yeah, mead, sorry. Yeah, I always get mead and grog. Grog's the world's first mixed drink. Mead is the first. It's honey beer, basically, what it's called.
Right. Water and honey, yeah. And they ferment it for weeks, and then it turns into mead. And it said it's Greek, Romans, and Vikings would make mead. Yeah.
Now, I've heard that term, batches. Mead. I've heard that term. I'm sorry. Honey beer. I've heard that term.
Yeah, honey beer and mead are basically the same thing.
Gotcha. All right.
Grog is when you take rum and water and lemon juice.
Is that where the term groggy came from?
Probably.
Yeah. Probably.
I'm groggy.
Does it taste good? Yes, my wife says it tastes good, Agato. I don't drink, but she really liked it when I made it.
What about the honey badger? I think that's just a mean little animal running around.
honey badger.
Yeah, I play with all that stuff. I make the mead, and I make my own apple cider vinegar and all that crap. So.
Oh.
Oh, you make homemade apple cider vinegar? Wow. That's
yeah, it cool. takes a long time.
I bet.
But then once you get the mother, you can like make your next batch really easily. And once you have the mother...
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
The mother's the mother slimy.
Is that cloudy stuff at the bottom when you buy it at the store. Yeah.
You just keep feeding the mother. Mm-hmm. It's just like having a sourdough bread that you can keep going for years. You just keep feeding the original.
That whatever going. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The starter. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. That's fascinating.
See, so we need to make sure to keep bees alive.
Yeah. Without bees, we're all dead.
Bees.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what I've heard. Mm-hmm. We're all dead.
Yeah.
Because they're the beekeepers.
Yeah. And then I don't know if anybody's ever heard of that Manuka honey. And I think it's from New Zealand. Have you heard of it? I'm Tuttles. Manuka honey?
No, I haven't heard of that one.
Oh, it's M-A-N, I think it's M-A-N-U-K. Flying Ham, you have UK? I think that's how you spell it. And it's really supposed to be like really high. They're selling it as like this health remedy. You can even buy Band-Aids at Walgreens and CVS that have Manuka honey already on already to stick on your wound. Yeah, it's very expensive. Yeah, it's supposed to be really good for you. Yeah, I bought one bottle of it and it was close to $40.
So here's a question. So if you're allergic to bee stings and bees, are you allergic to honey? That's a question. I don't know.
I'm not really sure on that one.
I hear no, no.
You guys are stumping me now.
White Ham says no. Crazy Lady says no. That's just an interesting question. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Elgato says no.
That's what's that disease that Michael J. Fox has? Parkinson's or something like that?
Yeah.
Yes.
They were using bee sting treatments on him to try to keep him from the jitters and stuff like that. And apparently, it was helping him for a while.
Huh. Hey, we have Flying Ham on the phone. Flying Ham on the home. Our on the phone. Our beekeeper.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
Excellent. I'm on my phone. I don't know if it was feeding back or not.
You sound good.
No, if you're allergic to bee stings, it is a protein produced by the bees in their stinger, and that's in a completely different part of the bee's body.
Oh, okay.
So, right. So you would not be allergic to the honey.
No, they actually don't even digest the honey. It's taken into the crop, like Danny Joe said.
And then they inject it with
the. Yep. They inject it with an enzyme. and then yak it up.
For the other one to eat up. Here you go, buddies. Got some honey for you.
That's what Ham Jr. said one time. He said, "You mean honey is bee throw up?" I said, "Sorta, sorta,
kind of sorta." Yeah. I don't think that's a moose. Who said that, crazy lady?
No, it's a cow. No, it's a donkey.
It's a donkey.
It's a donkey. It's his donkey.
It's a jackass.
That's your donkey.
Jackass.
Right?
That's the slang term, yeah.
Yeah.
And for the record, Elgato, it is not our Alabama friend Coltrane. Because
No. He has an accent too. Yeah. Southern accent. Another Southern gentleman.
Yeah.
From Georgia. You got to have a Southern accent from Georgia.
Georgia. Sure.
Yeah. Sure.
Hey, well, listen, guys. Thanks for checking in with us and helping us on this bee stuff. That's great. That's great stuff.
Right yeah. There,
helping us.
I'm looking like a
crazy my stepmother, has done beekeeping work, but I know she isn't doing it this year because there have been kind of times where we would have a lot of rainy weather, and it would get cold and damp after that to the point that the bees would not produce like they're supposed to, and plus. And I think in around hers and my dad's yard is they have a lot of like overgrown like trees that are real tall, and the beehive would probably not get a lot of like sunlight.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, we're gonna take a break from the bees, and we're gonna slide into Dina Joe's music.
Oh,
so we can get that going.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for letting me call in.
Thanks, man. Thanks for calling in, guys.
See you later.
Appreciate it. Appreciate you guys and your beekeeping abilities.
Oh, what was he saying?
What were you saying, Plain Ham? I think he's gone.
Oh,
he's gone.
Okay. 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock.
5, 6, 7 o'clock. You know what time it is? It's time for Dina Joe's Today in Music History. So get out there, order yourself up a couple of cheeseburgers with fries.
Whoa,
wash it down. Here she is, ladies and gentlemen. The hostess with the mostest.
Okay.
Dina Joe.
Sounded like a phone notification on Flying Ham's end, but I guess he's going back to chat.
Okay, we're going to go the first one today. We're going to start in the year 1958. Known as Harold Lloyd Jenkins until changing his name in 1957 to Conway Twitty, hit number one with It's Only Make Believe and stays there for 2 weeks. Twitty was relatively unknown rock and roll singer at the time. The single topped the charts and became the number one for his career. So here's Conway Twitty with It's Only Make Believe.
People see us everywhere. They think you really care. But myself I can't deceive. I know it's only make believe.
Conway Twitty, It's Only Make Believe.
And I couldn't pass up this band because their name, I've never heard of them, but it was too funny. So the second one was 1966, garage rock band The Electric Prunes released I Had Too Much to Dream Last Night. It was also the lead track for the band's debut album and became more widely known as the opening track on the influential Nuggets compilation of garage rock and early psychedelic music. And that's I've never heard of it, but it was an album of a bunch of different people that was released in 72. The Electric Prunes originally formed as the Sanctions at Taft High School in Los Angeles, renaming in 66. They don't say why they changed it to the Electric Prunes, but here they are with I Had Too Much to Dream Last Night.
Yeah, I know, huh? This is from the album Little Steven's Underground Garage, Halloween A Go-Go.
kind of sounds familiar. It sounds like bees taking over.
I had too much to dream by the Electric Prunes.
Oh.
I'd like to look up some of the more of their music and listen to these guys.
Too funny. All right. We're going to go. Number three is 1973. Elton John started an 8-week run at number one on the U.S. album charts with Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, the single's third U.S. number one. The album, which had the working titles of Vodka and Tonic and Silent Movies Taking Pictures, is his best-selling studio album with worldwide sales of 15 million copies. The album contains the Marilyn Monroe tribute, Candle in the Wind, as well as three successful singles, Benny and the Jets, Saturday Night, All Right, and again, Candle in the Wind. But we're going to play Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. Here is
this Elton is my Rock. Favorite Elton John album right here. I don't know, Elgato, if that's Little Stevie from Bruce Springsteen's band. This is a great Elton John album right here. Goodbye, Yellow Brick.
When are you gonna come down? When are you going to land? I should have stayed on the phone. I should have listened to my mind. You know you can't hold me forever.
This is the song, Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road by Elton John. On the Goodbye Yellow Brick Road album.
He's a fine artist, man. I tell you mm-hmm.
All right.
He's making a comeback on these TV commercials for some kind of food delivery thing.
I just forgot which one.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
you've
he's in two different commercials for them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. 1973, American singer and songwriter Eddie Kendrick. Keep on Truckin' hits number one for first 2 weeks. Noted for his distinctive falsetto singing style, Kendrick's co-founded the Motown singing group, The Temptations, and was one of their lead singers from 1960 to 1971. He was the lead voice on such famous songs as The Way You Do the Things You Do, Get Ready, Just My Imagination. As a solo artist, Kendrick recorded several hits of his own during the 70s, becoming the only member of the Temptations to register a number one hit on the U.S. solo albums chart. Here is Eddie Kendrick with Keep On Truckin'. Keep on truckin'.
Keep on trucking.
Now, I don't remember Eddie Kendrick. That song.
This is from his album, Eddie Kendrick's.
Mm-hmm. I remember the other ones he had hits, but I don't remember that song.
No, neither do I. But he can sing, I tell you what.
Yes, he can. He's got a great voice. 1979, Fleetwood Mac scored their second UK number one album with the double set Tusk for the British American rock band. NME ranked Tusk as 445th, in their list of 500 greatest albums of all time. The album was also included in the book of 1001 albums you must hear before you die. In 2000, it was voted as 853 in Colin Larkin's all-time top 1,000 albums. So here's Fleetwood Mac with Sarah from their Tusk album. And I believe that was a 4-CD. Yeah.
Getting a lot of noise, a lot of interference.
Yeah. Welcome.
Wait a minute, baby.
Sorry about all the technical stuff, everybody.
Said you give me love, but you never told me about the fire.
And that's Stevie Nicks singing right there. Sarah by Fleetwood Mac. Featuring the vocals of Stevie Nicks. I like this song.
Yeah. They're a good band to listen to. Good band. Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on to the year 1979. The Eagles went to number one on the U.S. singles chart with Heartache Tonight, the group's fifth and final U.S. number one. It made number 40 in the U.K. The song originated from the electric guitar jam session between Glenn Frey and J.D. Souther, who would visit Fry's home whenever he was on tour. Frey and Souther wrote the first verse while listening to a Sam Cooke song. And see, yesterday it was Smokey Robinson who was saying he was listening to Sam Cooke. In the heat of jamming, Fred called Bob Seger on the phone and sang him the verse. Seger then blurted out the quiet chorus, and the rest was history, and the song was done. So here is the Eagles with Heartache Tonight.
Somebody's gonna hurt someone before the night is through. Somebody's gonna come undone.
You know, the early Eagles music is just great. They were a great band. Heartache Tonight, Eagles.
70s music, man.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's good 70s stuff.
70s music is such great. Okay, let me see if I can get through this one. This is our last one on the list. 1979, Rapper's Delight by Sugar Hill Gang becomes first rap song to hit the Billboard 100, entering the charts at number 84. The hook is based on some common patter heard on the block parties, hip hop, and you don't stop. The verses are combined with stories and word salad that comes flowing from the beat. A lot of it is braggalicious. I'm going down in history as the baddest rapper that could ever be. But most of it is pure fun. Wonder Mike rhymes about going to a friend's house and having to eat his mama's nasty food. Hank raps about Lois Lane dumping Superman for him. And a bit lift from a more legitimate MC, Grandmaster Cuz, Cold Crush Crew. Here is Sugar Hill Gang with Rapper's Delight.
Nice bass line.
I said hip hop, you don't stop the rocket to the fan, let me boogie, say bang, jump to the rhythm of the beat.
Good boogie to me.
What you hear is not a jazz, I'm rapping to the beat. And me, the groove.
You know, Jazzy Dina Joe. Rapper's Delight, Sugar Hill Gang.
Going down.
Boy, I'd almost like to play that all the way to the end. That's a fun song.
Maybe when you get home and we can understand it all.
But if you listen to the download, it doesn't sound that bad. If you listen to the downloaded show, yeah. So anyway, good job, Dina Joe. Thanks for the list.
You're welcome.
I know it's challenging to put
I'm still learning how to lead, so thanks for bearing with me.
I know it's challenging to try to put together a music thing when you know the connections are going to be bad and you're thinking, why am I even bothering? Well, I appreciate your effort. Because, like I said, go and listen to the download, and I don't think it sounds that bad when you listen to the download. I don't understand electronics. I don't understand the technology behind that, but I listened to one of the shows, and I'm going, well, that doesn't sound bad. Anyway, there you go. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in and listening to the show. Huh?
You're on a cell phone, right?
The music is coming through YouTube, my YouTube subscription through my phone, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, my music's coming from my phone. My music's coming from my phone into my, whatever they call it, my little box here. I forgot the name of it. Totally forgot the name of it. In my box, the same box that my microphones are plugged into, And no, I am not on my cell phone. No, I'm going through my my little sound system here. What is this box called? Oh, for crying out loud. How can I not know, remember what
I can't think of
called?
What it's called. What you told me.
I mean, is it like a Rodecaster Pro soundboard or something similar to
soundboard?
It?
No, it's a. It's not a. It's not really a soundboard. It's a.
Or kind of like Bluetooth.
No, and it doesn't even say it on it. Oh, for crying out
loud! Oh my gosh,
that's going to kill me now. I'm not going to be able to figure it out. Come on, you sound guys in the chat room. You know what I'm talking about. It's a. I'm so brain dead right now. It's unbelievable. That's the static. Me breaking in and out isn't from the electronic, Dina Joe. It's my head. My head's buzzing out. No, I don't know. I don't know what it's called. I don't know what this is called. It's not an auto. What is it? Audio? I don't know. Some kind of sound cracker box thing with knobs and plugs. I don't know.
Let's see if we can find out what it is.
It's made by Presonus. I do know that. It's a Presonus 1810C Studio 1810C. Yeah, that's the official name. Presonus Studio 1810C. Oh, what is it? You need it to plug into your computer so the sound goes in and does all it's
and
supposed to do.
And then your headphones stick in there and your mic sticks in there, right?
Right, exactly.
Yes, that one with all the buttons and the flashing lights.
Yeah, the things that when I touch it, it goes crazy and I lose my signal and everything. And that's why when we're doing the music show, people say, oh, your volume's going in and out. And I'm looking at my dials and I'm going, nope, everything's fine here. You know, I'm not losing anything on my dials. So, all I can think of is auto
headphone amplifier, audio interface.
No. Auto. Mixer. It's an audio interface. Audio interface.
Ooh,
Dina Joe got it.
Oh, Thomas audio interface. We said it at the same time.
Thank you.
I saw headphones.
I'm sorry to say it. I will be back tomorrow. So,
what's that? Audio.
I said I was going down the list: headphones, headphone amplifier, audio interface, mixer, audio interface. Cables.
My audio interface. Bum, 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 bum.
That's little, huh? It's a small little thing. It's not very big.
Yeah, it's not very big. It's not very big.
Oh, I thought it was like a big, huge thing, like you see on the DJs, no. You know, and they have all those. You move.
I actually have two of them. I actually have two. They're both Presonus instruments. And the first one is a USB 96 or something like that. But it's half the size this one is. This one's a little bit bigger because I wanted to actually see the lights, the levels going up and down so I can control it better.
Oh, my gosh. Shuttles, are they really? They're $600 for those? For a audio interface?
Oh, my 1890. My studio 1810 cost me a pretty penny. It did. But the smaller one I have, I bought it as a package for about $200.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You got it.
You get the interface, you get a microphone, you get a headset. Yeah. And if you're planning on doing a podcast, you're going to run it through your computer. You need to pick up an interface so you can run everything through it. Yeah. And I would suggest that you get the Presonus USB. I think it's USB 96. I believe that's what it is. And it's a kit. You get it. It comes with the unit. It comes with a headset and a microphone. Real good instructions on how to set it up. Plus, you get a little software package for doing editing and that kind of stuff. Because, see, that's what you and I use, Dina Joe, when we're doing those promos. That's where we make our promos. We're actually doing it through the sound system on my computer. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to goof around with.
What do you use a mixer for? Oh, we're almost out of time. But what do you use a mixer for?
I have no idea. I have no idea where. See, people start out with an interface, and then they have all these other things plugged into it. You know, multiple level things.
Yeah, it's similar to an audio interface. A mixer helps improve your audio by giving you more control over sound levels, inputs, outputs, and more.
Yeah, I don't know.
And margaritas, fine.
And margaritas, that's what I need, margaritas. And I've often thought about it, but, you know, I have a hard enough time just just using my interface.
You know? Right. There's a lot more.
Because I'm always knocking this out and all this and that. So I'm just leaving it the way it is. I'm leaving it the way it is, you know. It'd be nice to have, but no. I'm good what I got. I'm surviving. That's about it. If I try to do more, I lose everything. I'm not a sound guy. Never claimed to be and will never be a sound guy. So with that being said, here we go. Let's see. What are we doing here? That. And then we're going to do this. And then we have to do this. And our show is over. I couldn't imagine coming here to a place like Seaside and setting up a complete studio. It would just be too much. Thanks, everybody, for tuning into the show. We appreciate you tuning into the Old Man's Podcast Show with Dina, Joe, and Eric. And we're here Monday through Friday. We've got our Thursday show. Our last show out on the coast is tomorrow. Tune in and join in all the fun with the bad connections, the bad internet, and the bad networking. And listen to Dina Jo keep telling me how she can't hear me. I think she's just doing it now because she could use that as an excuse. just check it out. Have a lot of fun. We appreciate you coming in. If you're new to the show, hit that follow button. Download our shows through Podbean, Spotify, and a bunch of others. And also, you can listen to a replay of this show on WESN Epic Strategies Network at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the ESN Epic Strategy Network. Eric, you want to plug some shows?
Coming up on Podbean Live, you've got John Gale, you've got Milk Dog, and a few other friends on the daytime schedule. And, you know, don't know if John DeVito is going on live after us or if he had something come up, but definitely be on lookout for him should he be doing shows again soon. And Frankie D will be on at 3 p.m. Eastern, which I'm sure Tuttles and Elgato and Mr. A will be hanging out with him today, and slightly serious at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. And if the Beans and Weenie show is on tonight at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, definitely be on lookout for them to show Spanky your support, given the dilemma he's going through. And I know, of course, we'll be back tomorrow morning as always, and then this Slacker 82 is also on this evening at 7 p.m. Eastern. Let's not forget about them, and then more podcast friends who will be on later this week.
A lot of good podcasts out there. You can find one to listen to and lock into and enjoy. But remember, start your day with the Old Man's Podcast Show with Dina, Joe, and Eric every morning, 7 a.m. Monday through Friday. Bad connections or not, we are here.
We are.
That's how it is. We are here.
Yes, we are.
And now a final word from our hostess with the mostess, the cupcake queen herself.
Oh, God.
Dina Jo.
Be the reason someone smiles today. Let your smile change the world, but don't let the world change your smile. Thanks so much, you guys, for joining us today. We appreciate it, and we love you guys so much. Have a great rest of your day. See you around on Podbean, hopefully. If not, we'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Dina Jo, our drunk little honeybee.
Again.
Want a big thanks. A big thanks to Flying Ham and Tuttles for calling in and joining the conversation on bees. We love bees, and we love the conversation. Mm-hmm. We love you guys calling in. Remember, check out Homeboy's latest download on Spotify. Give him a download on Spotify. I'm going to do that, too, and help him out. All right, everybody. We just appreciate y'all coming in. We love all you guys. Have a great day. Tomorrow's Veterans Day. Don't forget tomorrow's Veterans Day.
Who knows? Maybe we might do a special intro tomorrow, like the Star Spangled Banner or something real patriotic.
Bye, guys.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
But we'll keep you posted.
Our show's done. The music's played out. We're out of here. And we'll talk to you later.
Adios, amigos. Later,